You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on May 4th, 2023. And this week I'm joined by Christopher Gardana, and we're talking about comments from the Pope recently about hell. In a recent interview, the head of the Catholic Church claimed that hell was not a place, but was a state of the heart and a posture toward life. And as more people misunderstand this topic, it's important for us to be reminded of what the Bible teaches about hell. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/0504. Now for our story this week. Pope Francis denies that hell is a place, says it is a posture towards life, from LifeSite News. In an interview to mark his 10-year anniversary, Pope Francis appeared to deny the existence of hell, saying that it is not a place, but is instead simply a state of the heart and a posture towards life. The pontiff's comments formed part of a lengthy conversation conducted by Argentinian news site Perfil, one of a number of recent interviews the Pope granted journalists to mark his decade upon the papal throne. Touching on a number of topics he discussed with other reporters, Francis also spoke about his philosophical and theological thought, along with aspects related to global politics. As part of the in-depth discussion, Francis was asked, "What is your own interpretation of hell and paradise? And what happens to people who go to hell? And what happens to those who go to paradise?" Given a trademark lengthy, convoluted, and somewhat evasive answer, Francis appeared to deny the existence of hell as an actual place. "Hell is not a place," he said. "If one goes to attend the Last Judgment and sees the faces of those who go to hell, one gets scared. If you read Dante, you get scared. But these are media representations." And further on in the article, it quotes the Pope saying this: "Hell is a state. It is a state of the heart, of the soul, of a posture towards life, toward values, towards the family, towards everything. There are people who live in hell because they seek it. There are others who do not, who are suffering. And who goes to hell, to that hell, to that state? They are already living from here." So we're talking about this today in our podcast. I've got Christopher Gardana here with me to help sort all of this out. Christopher, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back. You know, this Pope, he always gives us lots of good material.
Yeah, I was preparing for this week, and there were other stories and other comments he's made that we may talk about at some other point, but it seems like he's always coming up with something that, whether it's the Catholic Church or others, that they're kind of look at him funny with what they said that they weren't expecting. But we're not doing this just to, pick on the Pope or whatever, but we realize that because he is the head of the Catholic Church, he is probably the one with the individual with most influence of anyone else in the religious world. So we're doing this because when he's rethinking what hell is, or what the Bible says about it, or how we should view it, we do need to pay attention to that, because there will be, and even are, some of our own brethren who are rethinking and have different ideas about this. So we're going to talk about this today.
And we really don't have time to go over all those, because that's a whole nother long list. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There are all sorts of things we could talk about with this. So we won't go, there's some podcasts that go an hour or two, and I can't listen to those, and
I don't want to subject people to that either.
Right. So we're going to keep our comments here a little bit more brief than that, but we'll start just a basic question. What does the Bible teach about hell?
Well, in Matthew 25, it says in verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And I was just looking up, just to kind of get ready for this study. And, Jesus himself probably speaks about hell more than anyone in the New Testament. And so, obviously Jesus recognized it as a real place. And even if you just used one gospel, Matthew, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, just in the book of Matthew where Jesus speaks of hell. And, you know, go Mark, Luke, and John, and then, you know, there's other New Testament passages as well. Revelation is full of information about that too. So it's definitely a real place. Otherwise, why would he even speak on it? You know, this idea of hell being a state of the heart, all these little things that he mentions here, if they're really just kind of like a subjective feeling or mental state, then would you then say that heaven or paradise would also be that thing? And so either way, it's something that's here on earth. It's not somewhere else later.
Right. Yeah. It seems like there's really a move toward focusing on this life. And, mm-hmm. and it's not to deny that, you know, he talked about people suffering and the things that, you know, they have to endure. Sure. We don't want to, you know, ignore or, you know, minimize the suffering that people endure here, but to say that that is hell, that it really downplays what the Bible really teaches.
Yeah. And, what hell really is.
Right. And like you said, when Jesus talked about it, he spoke of it as if it was a real place. He expected those who were listening to him to see this as a real place. And you're right that he spoke about it more than anyone else in the Bible. I was reading something today about, you know, someone, you know, a preacher from, you know, years ago, J.W. McGarvey, something that he wrote about, it was the destiny of the wicked. And he was talking about the eternal punishment. And I have a quote from him I thought was interesting that I wanted to share here, where he said, "If the human imagination were taxed to its utmost for a picture of desolation and anguish, it could not do more than to conceive a person enveloped in darkness where not a single object could be seen, and not even his own person, and surrounded continually with weeping from invisible sufferers and the gnashing of invisible teeth. Yet such is the Savior's portraiture of the desolation and anguish which shall characterize the last state of the unforgiven sinner." And really his point there is that if we were to try to imagine something worse, so what the Pope really is doing, he's kind of really downplaying all of, you know, what Jesus said about this. But, you know, McGarvey's comment there was that if you were to try to imagine something worse than what Jesus described, that you wouldn't be able to do it. Because when you really think about how it's depicted there with the outer darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth and the fire and all that, that you could not picture that. So really, when you look at what the Bible teaches, it is a place of suffering, and it's not a place where anyone should want to go, and really not a place that we should minimize either as far as the severity of it.
Right. Right. And the fact that it's a real place and it's in a future place, it's not a place that I can find here. Now, there may be, like you said, there may be people that are going through suffering, or there may be some really wicked people. And we could say, boy, to be in that situation would be, you know, hellish or whatever. But again, even all those situations, we're minimizing what it really is. When he speaks in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment," you know, there again, that kind of imagery that McGarvey's bringing up, this pit of darkness, this just weeping and gnashing of teeth, just it's just, and it's eternal. You know, like you said, there are brethren there trying to diminish the hell and to say that, you know, it's kind of like you're a piece of bread that's thrown into the fire, and what happens to that bread? Well, it's permanently destroyed, but it's when it's done, it's no longer there. And so when we go to hell, we're burned up, and then that's it. We're just burned to a crisp, and there's no more memory or no ash. There's no, you know, no remembrance, no mental state. And that's just not what you read about in, you know, this idea of it being eternal and this eternal punishment, the weeping and gnashing of teeth and some of the imagery you see there in Revelation as well.
Right. With the lake of fire and the second death and all that. It's a very vivid picture. But mm-hmm. one of the things that the Pope did in his comments, and he didn't really address, you know, at least the portions that were in the article, he didn't really address what Jesus described as this. He talked about, you know, media representations and, you know, what Dante wrote and say, well, if you read those things and you get scared about what this is, But what's interesting is that, you know, later on in the article, he talked about this sculpture that, and I don't know if you saw that, I put it in the shared notes that we had, and I'll, when I edit the video, I'll put it in here where people can see what this sculpture looks like. But he talked about this sculpture that, you know, depicted Jesus kind of rescuing Judas, almost as if the lamb that had wandered off and the good shepherd comes to rescue him and put him over his shoulders and all of that. That, and he made the point, well, this shows that salvation is stronger than damnation. Well, that's a, you know, not a media representation. Well, I guess it sort of is a media representation.
Ancient media is an ancient media.
Right. So he's right in the sense that we do need to be careful about accepting, you know, what Dante wrote or with some, like what we see in a movie or, you know, as other depictions. But at the same time, he needs to be careful what he's, you know, gathering from these sculptures and things like that, because you look at what the Bible teaches about Judas and what it says about him, because the Bible really is the source that we need to go to, not these sculptures and not what, you know, anyone else has said, because Jesus said in John 17:17, to sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. So the word of God, not some sculpture, not some book that's written by man or anything else, but the scriptures, what establishes the truth. And Jesus, he referred to Judas in John 6 and verse 70 as a devil when the replacement was being chosen for Judas in Acts chapter 1. Peter said that he turned aside to his own place. So it really shows Judas as departing and being lost. But regardless of, you know, the fate of Judas, going back to what the Pope talked about these representations, whatever that sculpture looks like, or whatever Dante wrote, or any of these other things that we might look at, it doesn't change what the Bible says. We've already discussed this a little bit with the imagery that's there, but he doesn't seem to address any of that. He just kind of lumps all of it together. But you look at, and you described a little bit of that with the, you know, what Jesus said about this, it is meant to, you know, scare us or frighten us or make us realize that, you know, this is a real place, but it's also a place that we do not want to go.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a reckoning and there's going to be consequences, and it's not going to be one of those things where you can just think, well, like how many shooters that we see with mass shootings today, they want to end their life in a spray of bullets, you know. And they think, okay, that's it. I got to go out in a blaze of glory and, you know, and be put on the map. My name will be famous for this heinous deed, and that's what I want. But then there's nothing else. Well, that's right. Just not what the Bible teaches. We're going to be held accountable for our life, whether good or bad.
Right. And that kind of gets into the last thing I wanted to talk about today, that, you know, whether it's the Pope or other people who minimize hell or deny the existence of hell or just explain it away as if it's just, you know, a state of the heart or whatever it might be. If people believe that there is no hell, how could that impact their behavior? What could that potentially lead them to do here in this life?
It's the same kind of impact of the atheistic point of view, because that's really kind of goes hand in hand with that. You know, if I don't believe there is any accountability, whether it means going to heaven or being snuffed out or going to eternal punishment, you know, pick your version. It's you're going to think that you're just an animal, that you're just a higher evolved ape. But also this higher evolved ape is destroying the planet. So we must curb this higher evolved ape and save all the other animals, even though evolution. Anyway, that's another rabbit trail. But right. You know, there's a lot of, you know, contradictions in some of these worldviews, paradigms, whatever. But, you know, I mean, if there's no hell, you know, what is there to deter someone from saying, well, I think we need to depopulate the planet, and humans are a scourge of the earth, and, you know, we shouldn't be here to begin with, and all the dolphins and the birds would all be happier if we weren't here. And so, you know, I'll be doing my part for nature, you know, and come up with some other morality, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's you could have that, you know, that sense of, you know, a misguided sense of a higher purpose, that sure, you're doing something good by doing this. And it really, you know, speaks to the fact that there is something inside of us. They, you know, that they want to say that we're just a more highly evolved animal, but there's something inside us that there's a reasoning process there, and there's, you know, there's a, they have to find a way to justify this in their minds. But one thing that I thought of, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, where it says that because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe the primary application of that verse refers to civil authority and civil laws, that if the authorities do not punish evildoers, then those who are going to commit crimes are just more likely to do that. We see this, this country in big cities and things like that, and other places around the world too, where those who want to engage in lawless deeds are just kind of left alone. Well, that's going to increase. And that's what the wise man's point was. But it also reminds us that, you know, that's the reality for mankind, whether we're talking about civil authority or the authority from God, that if we don't believe there's any punishment, now it doesn't say the punishment's not there with God. God is going to punish us, but if we don't believe it's there, then, you know, what's to stop us from, you know, doing any number of things like you talked about with the mass shootings and things like that? You know, if there's not a such thing as hell, then there's really not much of a deterrent then for us to make sure that we stay on the right path. Not that that's our only motivation, that is a deterrent that's there for us to try to keep us on the right track.
Yeah. And regardless of whether is a deterrent, the fact is that it's real. And if you believe in the Bible at all, then you have to also believe this part. You know, I had conversations with friends in high school and other places throughout life where they'd just, well, you know, God is love and, you know, God would never send anyone to hell. Well, when you consider Jesus was probably the most prolific speaker on this subject, you can't deny that. You can't say I embrace the idea of heaven, but I reject the idea of hell, because they're both there just as much as one as the other.
Right. Yeah, that passage you mentioned right at the beginning, you know, in Matthew 25, that you have some going away to eternal punishment and others going to eternal life. That there's, if you're going to accept one, and a lot of people want to say, you know, God's love, there's that, you know, eternal life. You have to accept the other, because Jesus talked about both of them as being equally real and something that awaits all of us.
And regardless of whether we believe it, because I believe there, you know, is a large percentage of our population across the world that do not believe at all. I've been hearing some really bad stories coming out of some of the, you know, in Haiti and other places where they're engaging in cannibalism and all kinds of, you'd say, no, Christopher, you're wrong. That's not true. Well, depending on where you look, there's definitely people that have no fear of God and no fear of death and no fear of eternal consequences. And so, you know, clearly it should be a deterrent to those who are wise, but there's a lot of ignorance out there, and either way, there is going to be consequences for it. And so that should also motivate us as Christians then, because we do recognize it. You know, what is it that Paul said, that, you know, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, you know, you'll have to put this there later. I can't remember right off the hand, but
yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:11.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And he has the verse 10 talks about the judgment, and then verse 11, knowing that, you know, we persuade men. So,
absolutely.
So yeah, that's another good point, that for us, we understand this. So we need to help share that message with others so that they can be prepared for this.
Right.
So as we talk about these things today, that we see that the Bible teaches that there is a real place of eternal punishment for those who are lost, but depicting it the way the Pope did, as just a state of the heart or a posture toward life, that is a gross misrepresentation of what the Bible teaches about this. So rather than trying to explain away the existence of hell, we need to be, as you said, pointing people to Christ and the hope of salvation is found in him, so they can be, they can avoid that place, because we're being saved, but that involves being saved from something. So we're trying to avoid this, avoid that punishment. And the only way to avoid that is through Christ. So, Christopher, do you have anything else you want to add before we quit for today?
Well, the rest of us, you know, Jesus said there in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You know, believe in the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And there again, he's describing that place that he's prepared for those that love him. And we just need to encourage people to look towards that and do everything we can. Obviously, we can't do it on our own. We need the grace and mercy and the knowledge of the will of God and that humble obedience, you know, to His will, and then rely on His loving kindness to get us the rest of the way.
Right. Yeah. Is that so? Way of salvation's open for us and open for everyone. We can avoid what the Bible teaches about hell. We can avoid that, and we can have the hope of heaven, but it's only through the grace that God has extended to us, and our, you know, we have to determine to follow Him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the story we talked about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/050423. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others that you think would be interested in it, that would be appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we are also uploading video versions to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer the video to the audio, then that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here on the podcast, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.